let the atmosphere shift in right now. We want to shift the atmosphere right now. If you are ready for a miracle this morning, we want to declare the atmosphere shifting. We want to shift the atmosphere. We want to call down the Heavenly Father. We want to call him down. We want to call down the Heavenly Father. Hey, hey! We want to declare the atmosphere shifting.
We call upon you this morning. Let your spirit come down now.
Let the atmosphere shift. Let heavens be open over us right now. And let every chain be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Chains in the mind, chains in the spirit, chains of limitation. Let them be broken now in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your people begin to operate now under open heaven in Jesus' name. And as your word comes forth, any residual chain that is still remaining will be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, bless your name. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Help put hands together for the Lord. I want to thank God for the choir this morning. Yes, we thank God for the choir. Let's appreciate the Lord for them. The tone has been set for the message of this morning. I want to say Happy New Year to our members who are just coming to the church after the New Year break. And I want to assure you that by the grace of God, the Lord has a lot of pleasant surprises for you this year in Jesus' name. In case you miss out on this, this is the year of your divine visitation, the year of your glad tidings, and the year of new things to the glory of the Lord. This morning, as we are getting ourselves prepared for this year, I'll be talking on what I call prepared by vision. Prepare by vision. If you go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 18, say, where there is no vision, the people perish. Our sister, one of them that gave the testimony this morning, was saying that last year she was not motivated to write down goals because the one she wrote down before in the previous year did not really make sense. But I'm happy that then she was told about vision. I want you to know that every life that is lived on purpose is propelled by vision. If you are going to live a purposeful life this year, that life must be prepared by vision. We are people who live by their mere imaginations. And so when people live by mere imagination, they just put down goals based on mere imagination. And probably that's what happened, why that sister was talking about. But when she had a vision, it was a different thing. Vision is the vehicle by which God has chosen to drive his purpose for our lives. In case you are forgotten, we said for us in Cedar Generation, for instance, the central focus of our vision is to raise a people that are healthy, that are holy, that are highly successful. People will come to the church to receive anointing and be empowered, and they will go to the world and make an impact. And thereby, they will become marketers of the gospel. And that's why we call ourselves streetwise apostles. Some people call them marketplace apostles, but we call ourselves streetwise apostles. If somebody tap you on the shoulder and say, what's your vision? Can you have an answer? If I come to you this morning and I don't ask to come forward and I give microphone, what is your vision this year? But let me tell you something. Except your life is prepared by vision, it cannot be on purpose. Because like I said, vision is the purpose, is the vehicle by which God has chosen to drive his purpose. And whenever anybody is about going astray, God will go back and give you the vision. Remember when Abraham was about missing it, when he was getting it wrong, God showed him a vision. He took him to the seaside. That, my friend, get it right. Count the sands of the sea. Look at the stars in the sky. I can see you are getting it wrong. When Moses was about to die because he annoyed God, God took him to the mountaintop. Said, my friend, look ahead. See what I'm talking about. God took John to the island of Patmos and he gave him revelation. So if any life is going to be lived on purpose, then it must be prepared by vision. This year, I don't want to go through to 2019 by mere imagination. So many people just take a sheet of paper and they begin to write down goals on the basis of my imagination. It doesn't work that way. But when you articulate your goals on the basis of the vision that you put together with you and God, there's a difference entirely. I'm going to take my text this morning from Habakkuk, which you know very well, chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, quickly. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, quickly. This message, I may not be able to finish it today, but when we get to, I will start and I will continue next time. Habakkuk, chapter 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and wait to see what it will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end he shall speak and not lie, though he tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Verse 4 is the last verse we are reading. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. In this passage, the Lord wants us to understand how a vision is articulated. Because when I'm talking about being prepared by vision, how do you receive the vision? And he's telling you the components of what will be the component of the vision. And I'm still introducing this message. And to help us better, let me just try to re-emphasize. From this passage we have read, there are four components of vision. The first one is the insight. The second one is the inside. The third one is the foresight. And the fourth one is action. What did I say? Insight, inside, foresight, and action. When go back to verse 1. When Habakkuk was saying, I will stand up upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what it will say unto me and what I will answer when I am reproved. Two things are happening here. He was trying to review his life. If you look at NIV, can we look at NIV, this verse 1, so that you can get what I'm talking about better. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 NIV. Can we look at the way it talks about it? The way the NIV as well. Maybe somebody else in the church, you can read. If media has it, they can project it for us. Can somebody in the congregation who has NIV stand up and read for me? Nobody with NIV version? Media, can you give me the NIV version? Anybody with NIV here? Yes?
I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint.
And what answer I am to give to each complaint. Now, this King James Version didn't capture that. That's why I said we should look at NIV Version. He was actually trying to review his life with God. Not if I said, what will he say? What will I give to each complaint? Complaint is not talking about what's about to happen. What has already, you know, it's a complaint is an outcome of something that's already happened. Do you agree with me? So the first thing is answer, review what has happened. You cannot have a vision because the vision is the unveiling of a divine agenda for the future. What did I say? Vision is the unveiling of a divine agenda for the future. But you cannot do that appropriately without a review of the past. You want to know where you got it wrong. You want to know where you missed it. Last year, what really went wrong? Where did you miss the steps? Where did you read it wrongly? So that you can have a better performance this year. But let me tell you something. The purpose of hindsight is to have a review to empower you for a better performance. It's not to make you to be to wallow in the regrets of the past. And that's why every January, I told you before that, even the name January is taken from the name Janus. Janus was a Greek god. And according to Fables, he had three eyes. Two eyes in front and one eye at the back. The eye at the back is to look at what has happened. The eye in front to see what is going ahead. And that's how the name January was coined from the word from the name of the god Janus, who was able to look at what happened in the past and then see into the future. So the essence of review is not for you to stay in the past, but is to help you to really know what you need to take note if you are to go into what God has planned for your life. And you see, God did this for his people. When you look at the book of Numbers, as I finish the message today, but I want to go systematically. Numbers chapter 32, look at how God did a review for his people before he can now take them into the future. He said, before I could take these people forward, I need to let them review their past. Number 37, verse 7 to 12. Let's read it quickly. Numbers chapter 32, verse 7 to 12. And they kept Numbers, my brother. Numbers chapter 37. We want to read from verse 7 through 12. And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which their Lord had given them. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swore, saying, verse 11, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not only followed me. Verse 12, where we are stopping. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have only followed the Lord. The Lord wanted to take his people to his promised land. Then he wanted, so that I can get the vision was ahead, he did a review. That look, remember what happened to your fathers. This is what they did. They refused to totally and wholeheartedly follow me. And therefore, despite the fact that I've spoken to Abraham, I made up my mind, anybody that's not a teenager will not go to the promised land. that anybody for 20 years above. So only the teenagers were excluded. And so God was telling them so that they will learn from this, so that they can be able to fit into this new package. So if you are going to expect a new package from God this year, you are expecting a visitation, you are expecting a newness, you must do an honest assessment of the past. Otherwise, you will not be in the best position to get the new thing that God is taking. I mean, it's prepared for you. But however, let me say, when you are doing the review of the past, like I told you earlier, it's to enable you for a better performance, not to put you back to the past. There are some of you who are still locked down in the prisons of your mind. Many people are still found with a locked mind of the past. This morning, you need to break that chain. Some people are still found within the prison gate of the bad experience they had last year. Some people are still found within the confines of the negative past they had last year. You have to break out of this, because God, my God, your God, does not live in the past. Yes, God wants you to learn from the past, but he does not live in the past. The God that we serve is God that was in the past, that exists in the present, and inhabits the future. He does not live in the past. So therefore, for you to move forward this year, you must not be locked down within the confines of the past. God is the God of now and the God of tomorrow. So your past must not be something you need to dwell and begin to limit your capacity or your faith for the year 2019. The past is gone and is buried. Tell somebody, my God does not live in the past. Tell somebody, my God exists in the present and he inhabits the future. That is why I can give you a vision. Because I said vision is the unveiling of the divine agenda for the future. So what happened yesterday, you should not allow it to be the one that will now begin to hold you down this year, that you won't be able to believe God again for greater things, that begin to limit your expectation for a new visitation. So the first component of articulate vision is what? Is the hindsight. Then the second one is the insight. Insight is deep introspection that fires a determination for an expected end. It's a process of reflecting. Now, what must I do to really go to where I should be? Insight fires you. It makes you to go into deep introspection and have a new determination. My dear brother, my dear sister, I want you to be on fire this year to expect that God is going to do you good. I want you to be on fire this morning to believe that because God exists in the present and inhabits the future, and since he is your God, he will take care of whatever the present challenges that you are facing and give you a future which you are expecting in the mighty name of Jesus. And every chain that is existing, either to limit or to inhibit, the Lord is going to break them. And it's breaking it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And now the third component of that, we say it is foresight. Unveiling the divine agenda. We look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. What does he say? Let's look at it again. Let's go back to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. I want the media to please cooperate with us this morning. And the Lord answered me and said, write division and make it plain upon the table that he may run that readeth it. Write division, make it plain upon the table that whoever reads it will run. So the Lord was trying to show Habakkuk. Habakkuk was initially started by talking about what God will say about what he has done before, what will be his answer to the complaint. But now God has moved beyond the issue of what happened to Habakkuk, the complaint he had about him. God's now telling Habakkuk, I'm giving you a new deal. I'm telling somebody this morning, God is giving you a new deal. I believe God today, God is giving me a new deal. I don't know about you. I am saying this morning, God is giving me a new deal. And the new deal that God is giving me is going to be my motivation to go ahead. Yes, I know I have some failures. Yes, I know I made some mistakes. Yes, I know some prayers are not be answered. Yes, I know some expectations are not be met. But because today the Lord has given me a new deal, this is going to be the power that is going to fire my spirit and my action. And this year, I'm going to move by God into the future that he has proposed for me. And the same thing happened to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Foresight is the third thing, to be able to be to see ahead. You are not just guessing. And only God who habits the future can show the future. And that's why many people, they go to stargazers. They go to necromancer. They go to palm readers. Because they want to see the future. But it's a lie. It's only God that inhabits the future. And because if God exists in the present and God is your friend, and we say that this God inhabits the future, he can show you his habitation. Is that not? Can't you bring your friend to your habitation? Can't you bring your friend to your habitation? If God is your friend and he exists the present with you and he has the future, he can bring you to his habitation, show you a little bit of it. So, foresight is what God does to open your eyes, to give you an agenda, to give you direction. And then the fourth component, if he has done that, number four is action. You will go verse 3 of Habakkuk that we just read. Just go down to verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. That's a timeline. There are deadlines. There are steps, there are stages. But at the end of the stages, of the phases, of the time, and not lie, he shall speak and not lie. Then what we need to do? Tarry. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. There's something that God expects you to do in order to actually bring the vision to pass. Yes, he wants to have an eyesight. He wants you to have an insight. He will give you the foresight. Then there are some actions you need to do. But all these things you can't do except God guides you. And that's why vision is different from just imagination. Imagination is different from vision. Vision, it is God that shows you this. It's God that gives you this. But you know the one thing about why people, when people write down goals, they don't write down goals out of the product of their mind. But when people write down goals out of the product of vision, it's a different ballgame entirely. But people find it difficult to actually, although they say they have a vision, but what they are not having is just a vision, just imagination of their own mind. And even there's a dictionary meaning that define the vision maybe as the product of maybe what you can imagine. Vision goes beyond that. That's for ordinary physical man. It is in your imagination, but for a spiritual mind, it is the unveiling of the future by God. But vision can only be given where relationship exists. and communication is unhindered. Because vision is by God. It's God that inhabits the future. God can only give it to you, can only show you the future that he inhabits when you are in a relationship with him. And communication with his own hinder. This is actually the core of the matter. Many people don't have any vision. They are just going through life by mere imagination. So their lives are not propelled by vision. They can't live on purpose. For you to have the vision given by God, it must be based on relationship. Let me ask you now. For those of you who are married, is there anybody can just bring to your bedroom? Anybody you can take into your bedroom, mean that somebody that is very, very close, that's a very strong relationship, intimacy. Do you agree with me? That's the way God is. Vision can only be given to people that he has relationship with and with whom there's an unhindered channel of communication. So this is where we want to take it this morning. If you look at Amos chapter 3, verse 7 to 8, quickly, before we now look at what relationship means, and then I'll now talk about what qualification is. Wherever I am today, in the next 20 minutes, I will pause, then we can continue next time. Amos chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. Look at what it says. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants and prophets. The lion roar, the lion has roar, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? Say, God will do nothing without revealing it into what? Unto his servant. Everything God wants to do this year, he might not give the details, but he will look for his servants that he will give an illustration about it to. He might not give step by step. Say, God will do nothing. How many things will God do without revealing to his servant? Nothing. But said the lion has roar. Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah. But people are dumb. Or deaf, rather. So everything God will do about you, God cannot just have an agenda for your life and put it under lock and key and you don't know anything about it. God doesn't work that way. But for God to give you what he has in the locker, he wants to bring you into a place of relationship. So I want to tell you one thing. Relationship is key into having the vision for God. Tell somebody relationship is key. It is the basis. Now, the first thing you need to know, that relationship is the basis. Without relationship, God cannot entrust you with his secret. Without relationship, God cannot avail to you his secret. If there is no relationship, communication will be impeded. You agree with me? When there is no relationship, communication is what? It's impeded. And there cannot be vision if there is no communication. How did Habakkuk got this vision? God communicated to him. Am I right? So, without relationship, communication is impeded. So, this year, for our life to be prepared by vision, let us make sure that our relationship with God is solid. That is the starting point. That is the beginning of the matter. Yes, you want God to give you a vision. You want God to prepare your life by vision. But how is your relationship with him? If your relationship is impeded, it's not right. It's not solid. The communication will be impeded. And let me tell you something. There is a difference between information and communication. Many people come to church for information. There's no communication between them and God. You can come to church to have information how to make it, how to succeed, how to grow your business, how to pass your exam, how to get contacts, how to get lifting. Many people go to churches today to come and get information, but they have no communication with God. Don't be among those people who are always coming to Sunday. They come into service, they are looking for loads and loads of information. Say, today's service is wonderful. They are looking for highfalutin sermon. They are looking for motivational speaking. They are looking for a lot of sweet talks, so they can go back and feel high. There's a lot of them between information and communication. Many people come to church, they have a lot of information, but there's no communication between them and God. May that not be your portion. May that not be my portion. This year, if we are going to be prepared by vision, we must make sure that we have relationship and there is communication with all. So, communication is what hates relationship. And number two, I want to let you know that for you to relate with God this year, if you want to get the vision, you have to relate with Him. But you can't relate with God at a distance. Don't relate with God at a distance this year. It's when you are close with Him that can share the thought of His heart with you. When people begin to walk with God at a distance, they begin to get second-hand information or third-hand information or several hands information. And when they walk at a distance with God, they cannot be right with God. Nobody can relate to God at a distance and be right with Him. The case of Peter. I want us to look at it and see how distance came between Peter and God and what made the difference. And that's the story of many Christians. Some people are close to God, after a time they move away and they wonder why is things going wrong. Why is it that they are not getting right again? Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. We are going to read a few verses there. We are going to see Peter in two parts. Peter who was close to Jesus and Peter who was related to Jesus at a distance. Matthew chapter 26. Let's read first of all from verse 48 to 52. Matthew chapter 26. 48 to 52. 48. Matthew 26, verse 48. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. Who is the Bible talking about here? Judas. Remember? Now go on. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hey, master, and kissed him. Verse 50. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Ore? Then came they and lay hands on Jesus and took him. Now look at verse 1. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Verse 52. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again that sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Now, what was I saying? The Bible scholar made a lot of that was Peter that actually drew the sword. He was very close to Jesus at that point in time. And so he had very close relationship with him. Jesus could whisper unto him. Jesus could talk unto him. And that at that time, when he was close to Jesus, Jesus could tell him, Peter, blood and flesh, I have not revealed these unto you. He was getting it right. So he was so close that he was so much, he drew the sword and cut off the hair of one of the people that wanted to come and pick Jesus. Peter said, no, don't worry. Don't do that. That tells you the kind of person Peter was. But go to verse 56. I want us to jump quickly. Go to verse 56, then jump to verse 69. Read verse 56, then go to 69. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophet might be fulfilled. Then all disciples forsook him and fled. I want to know that. They were close. Peter drew his sword, but at a time, all of them ran away. But something happened. When they ran away, Peter thought, I can't abandon this man. Now, because I promised him, I will follow him, but I will not follow him close. I will just follow him at a distance. Now go to verse 69 of that same part, and we'll end at 74. Go to 69. Now Peter sat in the place where a damsel came unto him, saying, did you read 56? There's a place where he said he following afar off. Verse what? Verse 50 what? Okay, I want to look at that 58 before we go. But all this 58. Go to 58. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's place and went in and sat down with the servant to see the head. Peter decided to follow him afar off. All of them ran away. Peter said, I'm not going to run away. He came back, but followed afar. Then now look at verse 69. Go to 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace. And the damsel came unto him saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. Look at what he said. Oh, the wisdom, but deny before them, saying, I don't know what you are saying. I don't understand what you are saying. Go to verse 71. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them, or they that were, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Look at what Peter said. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him, they stood by and said to Peter, surely that one of them, for thy speech betray you. They could even see, because he was yet to get the language of the world. Many of us, even though we are just in between, we are predicing the language of the church and the language of the world. That's what Peter was doing then. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and made the call. What happened? Peter that had the vision that God told him that blood and flesh are not shown to you. By the time he began to follow him afar off, many of us, we have not really abandoned Jesus. Many of them, we have not abandoned church, but we are following afar off. I'm calling on to all of you this morning. Come back and start following closely, so that you can have the right vision. So that you can have the right, you can have an unveiling of the right agenda that can prepare your life. Stop following him afar off. This year is the year of visitation. This year, your glad tidings. Don't wait afar and say, God will come and tell you. God is calling us this morning. He's calling us this year. We cannot follow him afar off and think that we can get it right. If we are falling afar off, we'll be working on the imagination of our mind. Look at what happened to Peter. Peter was very close. So close, he had the zeal to actually cut off the hair of those who came to attack Jesus. But when he followed afar off, he cursed. He swore to a wrong oath. Many of us are doing wrong things because we are following afar off. We are not totally backsliding, but we are not fully inside. One leg in, one leg out. This year, for us to have what God has in store for us, we need to move closer. And before I just, you know, pause for today, I want to say also, one, I said you cannot relate with God by following. You can also not relate to God by proxy. You cannot relate with God from a distance. That's what I just showed. Secondly, you cannot relate to God by proxy. So, well, let Pastor just tell you what God has in store for us, and we'll just flow into it. Pastor can tell you what God has for the church, but God will tell you what he has for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't think you want to relate to God by proxy. See, the reason many people go to several places is because they just want people, other people to stand and be the one, the mouthpiece of God. They said don't want to give sacrifice, the commitment to remove close to God. But this year, remember, I said God has something new for you. But don't relate to him by proxy. There's something that Job said in Job chapter 9, verse 30. Is it verse 32 or 33 now? Let's look at Job chapter 9. Go to Job, please, quickly, and then we'll just round off for today and we'll continue next time. Job, I didn't say John. Even they both started with J, or they both started with J. Job chapter 9. Let's check verse 32. Either 32, but let's start from verse 32. Job chapter 9, verse 32. Okay, good. For he is not a man as I am that should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. I think it's verse 33. Go to verse 33. Neither is there any days man between us that might lay his hand upon us both. Now, Job was saying that there's no days man between me and God. Let me tell you the meaning of a days man is an interpreter. A go-between. Who will now interpret to him. But Job saying that, look, he has a relationship with God. There's no interpreter between him and God. And that was why he was able to get it right. Despite all the challenges. Said there's no dead man between, there's no interpreter. The interpreter of a dead man is interpreter. So between, so maybe God is here, Job is there, and there's interpreter in between. And that's what many people are looking for. They are looking for a proxy. You cannot relate with God by looking just for on the basis of information. You cannot relate to God from a distance. You cannot relate to God by proxy. Can you ask? Can you repeat after me again, or tell me? You can't even to God by what? By just looking for information. You cannot relate God by what? From a distance. You cannot relate God to God by what? By proxy. If vision will come as a base of relationship, the first thing to set right is our relationship with God. Then the vision will follow. We cannot put the cart before the. I'm going to say, give me the end product. I don't want to go through the process. And if anybody has not been hearing God, it means you mean to move closer. Somebody say, I'm not hearing him. He's not speaking to me. If anybody is not hearing God, that person needs to move closer. My brother and my sister, this morning, I will stop here and continue next time. I've not finished the message. Know that any life that will be lived on purpose must be propelled by vision. Know that the vision is the unveiling of divine agenda. And know that God can only show you the vision when he is in relationship with you, and there's no impediment between you and him in terms of communication. And if you want to relate with God, don't just think that you can just come to God, church, only by looking for information without communicating with that God. Know that it's not possible, it's not fruitful. It is possible, it's not fruitful to relate to God from a distance. You need to move closer. Don't think this year you want to relate to God by proxy. I've always told you in this church, God does not have grandchildren. He's the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. He's not the God of Abraham, and a senior father of Isaac or great or grandchildren or grandfather of Jacob. He's God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. This year, the Lord will unveil his divine agenda for you. This year, the Lord will empower you to fulfill purpose. This year, the Lord will bring newness to your life. But you need to come closer to God. Can you stand on your feet? And can we take it on? Draw me nearer. Nearer to thee. Draw me nearer to thee. My song every day.
Draw me nearer to thee, yeah. My song every day.
This morning, that this year I want to reveal your mind unto me. I know I cannot know your mind if I'm not in your heart. How can you know the mind of God when you are not the heart of God? So ask God this morning to draw you closer, and you yourself make a determination to move closer to the heart of God this morning, this year, so that I can know the mind of God. It's only when you are in the heart of God that you can know the mind of God. When you are not the heart of God, you cannot see the mind of God. This morning, I want you to pray unto God. This year, I want you to show me your mind. I want you to guide me. I want you to lead me. And I'm making myself available to you, Lord. I want to be closer to you. I want a closer walk. I want a closer relationship. I want a closer intimacy. Can you begin to pray unto God? And perhaps there's anybody who is yet to give his life to Christ. That's the beginning of the relationship. That is the beginning of intimacy. God cannot show you his mind. You will only believe it by your imagination. If you are yet to give life to Christ, but if there's somebody like that here this morning, I want to say, Lord, I want to give my life to you. You can lift your right hand anywhere you are. Anywhere in your congregation, in the congregation, just lift your right hand that God this morning. I want to surrender unto you. I want to give my life unto you so that I can know your mind, so that I can be in your heart. If you are there in the congregation, can I see your right hand up anywhere you are? And I want every one of us to begin to pray that this year my life will be driven by purpose. It will be prepared by vision. This year my life will be driven by purpose and will be prepared by vision. I will not just walk on the basis of the mere imagination of my heart. This year I will walk in your way. I will not engage in the labor of the foolish. People, the Bible says, where there's no vision, people perish. This year, you will give me the vision of my life. You will give me the vision for this year. You will give me the agenda for this year. And it will be accomplished.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We appreciate you, O Lord God, because we know that you have great things in store for us. Lord, I pray today, none of us shall miss out on your purpose for our life this year. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, this year we shall not be blind. We will not go through this year blindly. In the mighty name of Jesus, whatever is impeding our relationship with you, Father, may you take it away this morning. Father, some of us have been following you afar off. We are related to you from a distance. Lord, this year you help us to close the gap between us and you. Lord, today, let every gap between us and you be closed in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody following God afar off, Lord, draw you our closer this year in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, some of us are related to you by proxy. May we individually develop intimate relationship with you one by one in the mighty name of Jesus. May we spend time with you in your in our closet, in intimacy, in intimate relationship with you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, and as we seek you this year, may you reveal yourself unto us. May you open our eyes. May you give us the guidance and leading that we require. Father, we thank you. Lord, bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Shall we clap our hands together for the Lord?